This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Macy's, according to recent reporting, is looking to find new and creative ways to stay competitive in this increasingly digital age. So to discuss the Cincinnati-based retail giant's future, Cincinnati Edition is joined on the phone by Bloomberg senior U.S. retail industry analyst Poonam Goyal. Poonam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I do want to note that we did invite Macy's to participate in this conversation, but the company declined and said they will be providing a retail update during their investor day on Wednesday. So we hope that Macy's will join Cincinnati Edition for a conversation in the future. Poonam, I have to ask right off the bat, are we close to living in a world without Macy's?
No, I wouldn't say that just yet. You know, I think stores have a place in the U.S. I do believe that there's too many of them, but that doesn't mean that we go to zero necessarily. With Macy's, with over 500 Macy's branded department stores, and of them, they've really highlighted 150, which are the growth 150, are doing particularly well. So I think it'd be a little too far-fetched to say we're going to zero.
Well, a lot of us in our area and maybe other parts of the country remember prior department stores that were acquired by Macy's. We maybe remember Lazarus in the Cincinnati area. And that all happened like in the 90s or the early 2000s. I'm wondering what role that growth of Macy's back then may have played in leading to the current challenges that it's facing, if at all.
Yeah, I think, it comes back down to that when Macy's was broken up into multiple different regional department stores and, when the May and Federated merger happened over 10 years ago, it was really to gain national scale. So when you think about department stores decades ago, they were more regional and not as national, especially for Macy's. So that was an effort to become national so they could have national marketing, national merchandising, and really gain scale to drive the operations. With that having passed now, and with digital, really, the disruption today is really digital. People are shopping online. They're not going to stores as much as they used to. And when we have that come together, it really questions, well, how many stores do we need? Is 500 the right number? Is it 200? Is it 300? And no one's really answered that question perfectly. Our view is that if there's only about 300 malls in the U.S. that are considered A malls or like A malls, maybe even less than that, then why have more than that in stores for the retailers?
We might need you to help us understand what an A mall is.
Sure. An A mall is a mall which has healthy traffic despite everything that's going on in the U.S. It usually has better quality tenants in it. So, for example, you'd find an Apple typically in an A mall. You would find a Lululemon in A mall. They're just malls that get better traffic. They're more aesthetically, visually pleasing to the eye. They also have higher tenants, and they also have higher rents per square foot. So, these are malls that you want to be in because they get the traffic and they're in good locations.
And these classifications I read in your report, I guess they can go, do they go all the way down to D mall locations?
They do. Yeah. I mean, we it's hard. Lots of different people have lots of different ways of classifying malls, but typically it's A, B, C, and D. And what we've seen is for Macy's, for example, maybe 30% to 40% of their portfolio is in the higher class of malls, where the rest is still probably in the lower tier. They've spoken about this at their prior analyst meeting, which was several years ago. And they have come off of that a little. They've closed over 100 stores now since then, but more needs to be done in our view. And then we're expecting to hear that on Wednesday, what their strategy is specifically around stores, whether it's closing them, animating them, adding new concepts, et cetera.
I do want to note that in this paper you produce, this report that you produce with fellow Bloomberg analyst Abigail Gilmartin, you do say that more store closings appear to be needed.
Yes, absolutely. I do believe that. I don't believe that just for Macy's. I believe that across the department store space, we are overstored in the U.S. and there needs to be a material reduction.
Does Macy's factor in the real estate deal that it gets in certain malls? I imagine all these leases can be different in some capacity. Is that factored into the overall margins in general, or do they look at the forecasting for that location overall in deciding whether to stay open or to close?
Well, I mean, you know, for the locations that they own, which they do own a significant portion of their real estate, especially given the Herald Square location, but many of these locations where Macy's is a tenant and where it rents the space, the rent is minimal, which is the reason why many department stores have stayed open much longer than specialty apparel retailers and are finding it difficult to close these stores. They virtually pay little to no rent on these stores, and that's because they were considered the traffic-driving anchors to those malls when they had signed these long leases.
We very famously locally lost our downtown Macy's store in spite of the fact that Macy's is technically headquartered here. You write in your thesis statement along with Abigail Gilmartin that, among other things, the company is streamlining upper management positions to save $100 million in annual cost savings. Does that mean job losses, like the executive type of job that are mostly based here in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, it means really optimizing your portfolio. So whether it's at headquarters or whether it's at stores, you know, there's in some cases there may be redundancies, or in some cases you could consolidate positions. And that was an effort that they had announced a few years ago that has gone forth. We'll wait to hear if, you know, more of that is upcoming at the analyst meeting. But I think for now, you've kind of already seen that play out.
You write in this paper that Macy's needs to be a mobile-first entity, and I guess that has to do with online shopping, but what does that mean exactly?
So if you think about today's shopper, right, what's the one thing that we have where we're connected? And it's our mobile phones. The screens have gotten larger. Internet is pretty much accessible to everyone, Wi-Fi connections all over, even in stores. So how do you engage the customer today? It's really through their phone. That's where they're connected 24/7. That's where they spend most of their time. So to have a mobile-friendly app, to have your apps work with speed and, you know, make it kind of a one-stop shop where you can go in and you could do one-click buying. You can already have your payment method stored. You can scan pictures of things that you like and find things that look like that on Macy's.com or on Macy's app. It's just making the mobile experience much more seamless and better for the customer, where they want to stay on the app. You know, they don't want to leave because it's taking too long for a page to load or this is just too much to go through.
They're also experimenting with some new partnerships. You write about one called ThredUp. Can you tell us what that is and how they hope it plays out?
Sure. So I think, you know, the next biggest disruption, and I've been talking about this for a year, it has been re-commerce, which is basically consumers wanting more reused items. So they're willing to buy used items. They're willing to take a part in the rental market. And ThredUp is essentially a resale platform, which is in select Macy's stores, and where they basically surface up brands at discounted price that have been worn or used in the past and still in good condition. So it's a treasure hunt feel that they bring.
Macy's is, of course, a national chain, but you note that they're able to do more localized promotions now. What is the advantage of that?
So if you think about where you are, right, in Cincinnati, if the retailer can offer local goods, local colors, and a message to the local market based on what's happening there, it makes you feel more connected. So that's the idea behind localized marketing. It's to feel that you're giving the consumer a better connection and that you're targeting each consumer almost individually rather than a mass marketed email to everyone.
I understand there's this new standalone store in Texas that must be somewhat special. Can you tell us anything about that?
I haven't seen it yet. I did read about it, and it's a smaller store is what I've heard, and they're testing beauty in there. They're testing a lot of different initiatives. We're going to hear more about it on Wednesday, is my suspect, but it's a much smaller store, which I find very interesting from what I read, because if you think about a traditional Macy's store, it's over 100,000 square foot, and this store is a fifth of that size. So it needs to be curated well with the merchandise that goes in, but it also speaks to, you know, is this a new format that Macy's could be pursuing to address a market that doesn't want to shop these oversized department stores anymore?
What else should we be looking for on Wednesday that indicates Macy's is looking forward?
I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for is how they're going to evolve and change their store base. It's really about how they're going to connect with consumers, take their fleet of stores and really make them stand for something and talk to a consumer that today doesn't want to shop stores as much as they had in the past. Digitally, I think they'll continue to thrive, so I just expect that trend to continue. But the biggest question I'm looking for them to answer is, what are they going to do with their stores and how are they going to make them more approachable and more wanted with today's changing consumer landscape?
Poonam Goyal is a senior U.S. retail industry analyst at Bloomberg. She has joined us on the phone today. Poonam, thank you so much for your time and explanations.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.